Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Hardly Casual Podcast. I am John Carter, and I'm joined today by Kenny Hall.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going, Kenny?
It's good. How about yourself, John?
Oh, you know, just hanging in there, chilling out. I feel like we're in a dry spell for video games.
Really?
I do.
I disagree, actually.
Do you? Okay.
I do. I've actually been playing quite a bit of the games.
Like, oh, what are games?
Games are, isn't this whole podcast about games?
Define games, Kenny.
It's an abstract medium in which someone gives you something to play. not sure that's the correct
definition. What is to play?
Oh, man. I don't think I'm ready for these type of intellectual conversations. I've not had enough beer yet.
This has gone too deep.
We've went into unmarked territories.
Uncharted.
Oh, that's a good game. Uncharted.
Yeah, Uncharted, that is a game.
I like those games.
Okay.
No, actually, I've been playing quite a bit lately. I'll start off with kind of the game I've played the most here lately, which is Final Fantasy X. Not a new game. I'm playing the remastered edition on PS4.
Which is the preferred edition.
Yeah, I'm playing it with the remastered sound instead of the original audio. And
okay, how is that?
It's really good.
Okay.
So far, it's really making me realize how much I miss good JRPGs.
Yeah.
And with I Am Setsune releasing today, which sadly I've got downloaded and
haven't touched
is
yet.
Ready to play, but yeah. I probably won't get around to touching it for another week or two.
I'm kind of in the same pool with Adventures of Mana.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I really want to play that, and that's you know, it's not turn based. That's more towards like your
right.
old school like Zelda style
right.
game, but it's still I would still consider it a JRPG.
Yeah,
but the same thing. Like I miss those old style of JRPGs for sure. I feel like most JRPGs are seen as like your anime. Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I feel like most of those are.
When
you think of JRPGs, I feel like the public opinion is like everything's a Persona game.
Right.
And that's not bad. Like that's for a certain a certain crowd. But
yeah.
that ye old JRPG, I feel like has kind of gone to the wayside.
What's that word I learned like 2 weeks ago?
You do you boo?
No, you do you boo.
Oh no, not that one. Sorry,
weeboo.
Oh, weeaboo. Yes,
weeaboo.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, most JRPGs these days are like. Weeaboo fanfic.
There we go. Yeah.
pandering to weeaboos.
Where the hell did you do you boo even come from?
I don't know. I remember a couple weeks ago, you're just like, what is you do you boo? But weeaboo, you do you boo if you're a weeaboo.
Oh, okay. Anyways, I'm going to go back to video games, an area that I'm more familiar with.
I'm very sorry.
I'm really enjoying the Final Fantasy X remake. It's everything I remember it being.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay is still pretty easy. You know,
yeah.
that was where they kind of started making the games a little bit easier. I'm already really overpowered at where I'm at.
Yeah.
I've really abused that spirit.
I appreciated that about 10, though.
Yeah, it makes the game fun in a sense.
Absolutely, because my main problem with some of the older Final Fantasies is it becomes such a grind fest. You get
yes.
to a point where you want to move on, but
right.
you can't.
But see, I'm still in that same mentality because I've always played those games
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, so even though this is an easier one, you end up grinding regardless.
Yeah. I just got to the first area where they kind of stop holding your hand.
Yeah.
It's where you are in the jungle and you fight some big
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun games.
you fight some big amorphous blob plant thing, and I've just been really enjoying that game.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm not gonna lie though, I did think that I hated JRPGs for about 2 days.
I know, yeah. What was your reasoning? How did you come to this point?
So I played this game called Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Well, yeah, okay.
Sessions.
Yeah. Carry on.
Pound sign FE.
Which stands for Fire Emblem.
Sure. It can stand for
because
whatever it wants.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions. That's a really... I don't know why. It's hard for me to put those three words together quickly. Tokyo
yes.
Mirage
Sessions.
Yes. But no, the FE part stands for Fire Emblem because this is a Wii U specific
right.
you know, version. Which this... The previous one is on Vita.
Right.
And from my understanding, I haven't played enough of the original versus, and I haven't played the newest one at all. So my understanding was that they're the same game.
I'm not really sure. I played probably 2 hours of the game and just mm-hmm. couldn't get into it.
Okay.
I keep in mind, I do love Persona games. I've played and beat Persona 2, 3, and 4 and really enjoyed all those games. But this game just feels really weird. And
yeah.
Oh, like... it has this weird, overtly sexual feeling to it, which is normal for an anime-based game, sure.
Yeah.
You know, they like to show off the women's busts and things of that mm-hmm. nature. But it's one of those things where I feel this game doesn't do a good job of being a game, first yeah. and foremost. It forgets it's a game, and it's trying to convince you to play this life sim, which I have no interest in doing. And it just, it burnt me out really quickly.
I can see that.
Made me just feel like, I don't know if I ever want to play another Persona game ever again.
I feel like it has some really neat ideas, too, because from the outside looking in, at least at Tokyo Mirage, it's like this, you're battling evil with music as a pop band?
Yeah, the main character is a pop music singer whose sister disappeared at a pop concert, I guess?
And so you're using the magic of J-pop, pop music, yeah. Of J-pop, to be specific, yeah, to battle evil and demons.
Yeah.
Which, that should be something that's just bizarre enough to be really cool. Like, I mean,
yeah.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, have you ever heard of that?
No.
Well, that's a perfect example of something that's just weird that catches on. I mean,
yeah.
I mean even if you look at a lot of the Shonen Jump things, you know, are just
yeah,
very bizarre very concepts true. That pull themselves off. And I feel like this could be in line with a Shonen Jump, but it's just, it feels a little icky.
Yeah, I felt the game just didn't want me to play it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like it wanted to exist in its own realm without me even being there. And
mm-hmm.
that's fine. I'll let it do that because I have no interest in going back and playing it at
yeah.
this point.
So in opposition, you have Final Fantasy X, which revivified you or reminded you
yeah,
that
well,
you do enjoy JRPGs.
Actually, the first game that started bringing me back to JRPGs was I just gamefied Grand Kingdom.
Okay.
By, I think it's NIS.
Yeah, it's NIS.
And that game's good,
yeah.
kind of, in a
yeah.
sense. I wanted to like...
It's kind of like a board game, though.
Yeah, and I wanted to like that game a lot more. The problem with it was the further I got into it, I played about 10 hours,
mm-hmm.
and the first 2 hours of the game were fantastic. I was raving about it after the first 2 hours I played it. And then the next 8 or so, it got really slow because you join this war thing
mm-hmm.
that happens, and you have to like go online and play against other, like I guess it's other people's like little teams and factions.
And is it obligatory? Like you have to.
It's kind of part. Like
opt
it's a
in?
Huge part of the game. Yeah.
So if let's say you're not even connected to the internet, is there an option to?
I think that,
that
it
or?
Just takes the world map and then populates
mm-hmm.
it with like false data, with like CPU
okay.
data and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you're still fighting these wars, but it. Isn't fun because
yeah.
at that point you no longer really have a story that's driven.
That's what I was going to say. The story halts effectively at that
right.
point.
Right. And maybe it gets better later.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where I felt like I gave it its fair shake and I really wanted to like the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it burnt me out on it pretty,
mm-hmm.
pretty quickly. So then.
Grand Kingdom visually, have you ever played Darkest Dungeon?
Yeah.
Okay. It reminds me. Of like a Japanese take on a Darkest Dungeon combat
yeah,
style.
Yeah, I can see that.
So like positioning and like
yeah.
everything's on like kind of a linear 2D plane.
Well, you have you're on a 2D plane, but you have like four lanes. I think
yeah,
that
absolutely.
You can jump in between. And
yep.
the combat's probably the best part about the game. The combat was really fun. It plays very similar to Fire Emblem Light,
mm-hmm. And it's turn based, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's turn based.
Okay, so it has multiple planes. Like anyone who's played Mega Man Battle Network. You remember that? How
I,
had, like,
I never played it, no.
Okay, those you were hot swapping between different planes and attacking.
Right. Yeah.
So this
it,
one
very
has
similar,
roughly
yeah.
like three planes.
Yes.
You're moving in between them,
you're
dodging
moving in between
attacks.
Them. Yeah, dodging attacks. You can, with your mage, you have an arcing attack that will hit an enemy and you can spam the button as a little cursor goes and you hit it
yeah.
at the right time. It hits the enemy, does more damage.
So pretty much just like Darkest Dungeon, but with multiple planes instead of just one
right.
flat 2D plane.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's the combat was very, very fun and
mm-hmm.
felt really well thought out because of all the different character types
yeah.
and such.
I really appreciate those games like that can broach that methodology of video game / board game.
Yeah.
You know, that comes with those board game philosophies.
And I have a friend who's been playing the game pretty much nonstop since it came out,
mm-hmm.
and he's enjoying it a lot
yeah.
more than I would have. So I think it's one of those games that everyone should play.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take my non-recommendation from it and
yeah.
say don't ever play that, because I think some people just enjoy those style
yeah.
games. It's just not my style.
It's just
of game.
It's one of those things that like there are so many good Japanese games, but how many of those end up becoming grind fests at a certain
right.
point, and how many people have the time or wherewithal to break down that barrier
right.
and to enjoy that core essence of the game
yeah.
that brings people
in. Disgaea was
place.
One of those series that was another one that broke me pretty quickly
yeah.
as well, because Disgaea was another one of those grind fest mm-hmm. that you hit at a certain point. You just got to go out and do those long RPG yeah. battles that took 2 hours.
And that's my biggest complaint with Japanese development. Like, if I had to choose right now whether the only games I could play for the rest of my life were either Japanese games or Western games, I would go Japanese whole hog. But the one downside to those are they rely on repetition to a certain point
yeah.
when it comes to the combat. And it's just like, you know, it's enjoyable. Yes, it's fun, but like you gotta move it along just a little bit. You know, that's
yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like the reason I would pick Japanese games over Western wholeheartedly is because I feel like there's way more creativity from the Japanese side of things. They're willing to play with concepts.
Yeah, and it's not just all shooters.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of Japanese games, there's one that is kind of Japanese that came out that you've probably had more experience with than me. I believe it's brought upon the apocalypse upon America. It's called Pokemon Go.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Saying Japanese, maybe in license, yes, Japanese.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, as of recording this, it doesn't go live in Japan officially until tomorrow.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah. Go figure that. I mean, people in Japan have been playing it. Just how you know we played it here in America with the APK.
Yeah.
You know, with downloading it, not illegally, but downloading it unofficially from
right.
Which is still the exact same thing. But yeah, Pokemon Go, man, it is one of the best game experiences I've had probably in my entire life, but it is a severely broken app with horrible issues that are dragging it down.
Yeah.
I love its ability to bring people together. I love its ability to get people. Here in the U.S., we're having a real problem. I won't get into politics, but we're having a real issue where people are swarming themselves or getting so involved in what's effectively what psychology deems tribalism, the us versus them mentality. And I feel like the U.S. specifically has needed something like Pokemon Go for a long time, just something that we can all, no matter what race, color, creed, you know, political views, backgrounds, whatever the case may be, that it's bringing people together and we're just having fun talking about fictional creatures that we're catching on a phone.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's that great thing to literally see a 14-year-old talking to a 67-year-old.
Yeah, but I'd be careful with that because that can go down the wrong way fast.
When they're related, I mean, come on. This scenario I'm painting specifically.
Okay.
But I mean, even beyond that, for me to go walking on a local university campus and to end up talking, you know, here's my wife and I and our baby pushing a stroller, maybe a friend will join us, and then for us to, like, get into a casual conversation with passing preteens, early 20s.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, a perfect example of this was we were sitting at the coffee shop we frequent
mm-hmm.
The other morning, and my bosses had both put out poke lures onto Pokestops, mm-hmm. like, literally, like, within range of us, and people were just coming by the coffee shop buying coffee because they were catching Pokemon outside.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool experience. You
yep.
know, that, and I've seen a lot of local businesses using that to their advantage. If mm-hmm. they have a Pokestop near them, they'll drop a lure on it. That makes Niantic and Nintendo yeah. money. And they get the benefit of people coming by looking for Pokemon
yeah.
there.
And I feel like a big part of the draw is nostalgia. But then again, you have, like, what, over 9.8 million within the first 2 days of people that downloaded it.
Yeah.
And were actively playing it. It had more daily active users than Twitter or Tinder. And that's to the point where it's like, okay, this isn't solely nostalgia for people. Because you
right.
have people who have maybe never heard of Pokemon or have heard of it but never been involved.
Yeah.
Who are
neither one of my bosses had ever played a Pokemon game.
Yeah,
they are both, like,
example.
Severely addicted to this game.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
So there is a catch to it. There is something there, gameplay-wise, that is effectively hooking people, so it can't
right.
just be the Pokemon license. I think the Pokemon license definitely helps.
Yeah, I mean, because Niantic has already made this game before
yeah.
with
Ingress. Yeah.
So, yeah, having the Pokemon there, I think, has really added a whole new level
yep.
of addiction in a lot of good ways for people. Because if this game was around when I was a kid,
true.
Oh, man, this
That's
is
dangerous.
All I would have wanted
it
to
It is a dangerous
thought.
Like, I had a discussion with my own mother. She was like, can you imagine what it had been like if this was around back when, you know, you first got into Pokemon? Because I was prime age for Pokemon when it came out originally. My mother was very supportive of it, you know, bought me the cards and, you know, video games and went to go see all the movies together. I had a very cool mom in that regard, but you know, that her bringing that up, I was like, yeah, that's a very good point. Like, I spoke to a gentleman on a playground. You know, I went to go work for a day, and then after work, you know, I was with my son and on a playground, let him run around, and there's another gentleman there who's on his phone, and he looks up, and he's there pushing his daughter on a swing.
Yeah.
He looks up at me, and he's like, so, Pokemon Go? And I nod my head, yep. He's like, you catch anything good today? I'm like, yeah, I have. And we chat a little about that. And then we get into, like, kind of the details about Pokemon Go casually,
yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, you know, it's really neat. He's like, I can't believe, you know, how quickly it's taken over.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's a fair point. I was like, honestly, as you're about the same age as me, I'm guessing. And I was like, for me, coming from that Pokemon lineage, you know, as a fan, having that big nostalgia drip from it, I was like, this is wish fulfillment for me.
Yeah. Because
now I can be the, you know, I can be the 28-year-old Pokemon master that I never could have been at 12.
Right.
And it's just
it
fun.
Because you want to be the very best?
Yeah, I want to be the very best. And for me, a big part of the addiction is from that collector's mentality.
Right.
Like I'm like this in all video games. If there's something to collect and something, if there's 100 gold statues in something in whatever video game, I've got to collect those 100 gold statues. You
right.
know?
Even though it's an arbitrary number, you just have to have
it. I love seeing numbers go up.
Sure.
That's the thing.
Right.
It's that, I don't know, it's that core dopamine hit that you're constantly getting from playing this game. Like, oh, I got another one. I got another one. Like, there's constantly a give or a reward for it. And it's very irritating to see the downside of the game, which are, you know, the horrible server hits. And, you know, we're having bugs after bugs. They'll patch one bug, and then we get 2-3 more pop up that are severe bugs.
The major issues with their GPS tracking system, because I'll be standing right beside one of my friends. They can get to a Pokestop. I can't because my guy's running in the middle of Egypt for some reason, because who knows why.
Yeah, Lindsay and I have the same issue. Like, we'll be going by a certain point, and let's say a Geodude pops up on my app, whereas on hers, it either pops up 2 minutes later or not at all.
Right.
Or vice versa. You know, it's completely swapped. That's irritating. The servers constantly being down is irritating. There's supposedly DDoS attacks from Poodle Core, you know, with the hacker group, and possibly the Lizard Squad, the other hacker group, which, I mean, why, guys? Like, I get you trying to attack corporate entities, but, you know, you think you're fighting the man? Like, what man are you fighting with Pokemon Go?
Well, I mean, they are trying to negate the downfall of America, because, as I've declared, Pokemon Go is going to cause the apocalypse.
It already has.
Or, excuse me, the Poke-apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I get that. I don't agree either. Like, I think that people doing that stuff is silly.
I honestly think that Pokemon Go is the biggest thing to happen to video games since the launch of the original Wii. The launch of the first Wii. I feel like we have come across huge golden milestones down our yellow brick road of video games. And I feel like some of those great ones were Pac-Man. You know, or even before that, Pong, Pac-Man, Tetris, the original Mario Brothers.
Yep.
And then we had, like, a huge gap. And then I feel like the next one was probably the Wii. Like, I mean, there have been major hits and major landmarks in video games. But I mean, cultural phenomena when it comes to video games. I feel like there was a major gap in between the original Mario Brothers and the launch of the Wii.
I don't know. I think I kind of have to disagree with you. I definitely think that we had, you know, things like the SNES that came out that was huge in the States.
They were big. They were big to us gamers. But I don't feel like they were cultural phenomena. I don't feel like they were things that were taking over media and taking over public variance or public opinion.
Yeah, maybe that's fair.
I mean, literally taking over to the point of where people who do not know what these things
are. Yeah, that's fair, because you're right. I haven't
reaching
seen
the realm. You know?
I have seen a lot of, like, non-video game related news article sites releasing things about Pokemon Go, like IFLS. I won't explain what that stands for, but they actually did a story on Pokemon Go as well.
Yeah.
Thought that was really weird that a science site would, I guess they used to be a science site, now they're more or less not, but that they did a story on Pokemon Go for some reason about catching all 150. I agree it's definitely huge right now.
I feel like it's huge in a way. I feel like maybe the next one you're gonna talk about cultural phenomena, I feel like VR has the potential to hit that as well.
I was just about to say that. I think that VR will be the next,
but I feel like we've got into a spoil gap or a stalemate, a run of mundanity, where we've had the advent of 3D games was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
You know, around the PS1 era and N64.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, between that, there wasn't much, and it wasn't until the Wii. Everyone was like, oh my God, I can stand up and play video games. I can bowl in my front room.
Yeah.
You know, that's
how long
big,
that lasts, you know, that's
absolutely,
not
yeah,
right.
And that's
yeah.
that's different. But my whole point with that is just like the awareness, the cultural awareness to where it's so mainstream.
So what about a Pokemon Go app that you can play in VR?
That'd be interesting. Yeah, that would.
Walking down the street with your VR strapped to your head.
I mean, people are already getting hit by cars because of this. Let's not push that any further.
I mean, I'm just picturing someone walking around with the Google Cardboard, like, strapped to their face, like, duct tape.
So stupid.
I kind of want to see that now. I'm not going to lie.
But I've had a lot of fun with it, and I'm doing a write-up on it right now. And just, it's one of those things that's actually kind of hard to write about because there's so much involved. Like,
yeah.
It comes from so many angles of how many areas and how many personalities and opinions that you have on it going each way.
And you have to do the good and the bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's honestly already a lot of bad. I've seen, let's take aside, you know, there's already been the criminal element is using it for their means.
Right.
You know, you have people using Pokemon lures to get people into a certain location to then rob them.
Right.
Here within our own town that we live in, at the local park, there have been multiple robbings and people who have been assaulted for their phones or because they're even supporting another in-game team.
Really?
Yes. There's also been a lot of vandalism and tagging over
teams.
Yeah,
I have seen that. Yeah.
And it's one of those things, like, you don't know if it's the team doing it or someone trying to frame someone who belongs to another team.
Yeah.
But regardless, don't vandalize over a video game. What the hell,
silly.
Guys? Come on.
Yeah.
That's really stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, you're taking a good, innocent, fun thing and turning it dark. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can have 9 out of 10 people playing this in a positive way and getting together and socializing in a very innocent and fun way, but that 1 out of 10 is always going to ruin it for everyone.
Yeah.
That's with anything,
right?
To be honest, and then, you know, if you take it away from that, you do have a positive light. You have people who have, I mean, you can find, just Google search it, you can find people who have been helped mentally because of Pokemon Go. You have people who are agoraphobic, people with depression, anxiety, who are, you know, breaching a wall that they haven't been able to for years. And even exercise. I mean, I've seen multiple people say, I haven't walked a mile, you know, I haven't wanted to walk a mile or jog a mile or do anything like this in, you know, in 10, 20 years. You know, I haven't actively exercised, and this has got it to the point where I want to. Like, I'm getting these little, I'm gamifying real life.
Right.
I think is where it helps. You know, I'm seeing these arbitrary numbers go up.
Because there's things like eggs that you have to walk to get the eggs to hatch, you know, you have to, I think it's like 5 kilometers for most.
2 kilometers, 5 kilometers, and 10 kilometer eggs.
Yeah. And talking to another friend of mine who's been playing the game pretty frequently, she was telling me that she went out and walked with her boyfriend for like three eggs worth of walking.
Yeah.
Like, just because, like, they lived near a Pokestop that was about a mile down the road. So they were walking to it, getting the Pokestop, then walking back. And that's 2 miles of exercise that they wouldn't have gotten.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's the same way with Lindsay and I. Like, we will be physically exhausted by the end of the day. And having a child on top of that is really, you put the last bit of your effort and energy towards your child.
Right.
But it's really neat to have something that, you know, it's one of those mind over matter things. Like, we're getting that additional exercise because of Pokemon Go. We're putting the baby in the stroller, going out walking with him in general. And we're all getting, you know, satisfied. And we're being out there in nature. You know, even basic psychology says that we are much more sated and we're much more at peace, at inner peace, if we're able to be out amongst greenery. Just that simple thing. There is something about the human mind that needs to be around foliage to you know, come to some inner peace. So even that is just it's great. I mean, there are plenty of pros to this, but like I said, there are those cons. If the game would just function, we would see a lot of those cons you know, wash away. But it is sad to see people using it for negative purposes. But like I said, that's going to come with anything, especially something that's this big.
Absolutely.
Millions and millions of people playing this, of course you're going to have a fraction of that.
A group of that being jerks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. The only other negative to that is people being negligent and, you know, not paying attention to where they're going when they're driving.
Yeah.
Don't Pokemon and drive. Yeah. It's just not worth it.
Travel with someone else. Have a traveling companion that will Pokemon Go for you on your phone.
Yes.
I think that's actually against their, I've heard people complaining online that, that's against their terms of service. You know, one person's not supposed to hold two phones and play both at the same time. And it's like,
but Niantic's still making money.
Would you rather that? Yeah, they're still making money, number one. I don't consider it that big of a deal. And would you rather the person get in a wreck, you know, by forcing that?
Another negative that I saw is people getting shot at for trying to find Pokemon. You know, when you're looking at your phone and you can see where the Pokemon are or what direction
you can triangulate to where they are. And sometimes it will be in someone's backyard or something like that.
I was reading I was reading a story where some like a group of kids trespassed on someone's yard and they shot at them. And that's not okay. Like, the guy shouldn't have shot at those kids because it's illegal to, first off. But second off, you shouldn't just trespass just because you're looking for a Charmander. It's not worth it.
I was speaking to a local reporter, and he is looking for a story about churches in Pokemon Go. And the spin that he's trying to get on the story is if churches have been mean to Pokemon Go players or, you know, shoot them away. I haven't had that issue, and I think that he's kind of looking for a dead-end story.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have people, and you're going to have church members who are going to be against Pokemon Go because it affects the religion or, you know, whatever the whatever that is. But that's beyond it. But me personally, I haven't had any of the churches that I've gone to, which churches are Pokemon stops. You go to them, you click on the thing in-game, you spin the little dial, and it gives you free items. Right. With me, I've at least been a decent human being. I'll pull into the church, get the Pokemon stop. It takes less than 30 seconds.
Right. I mean,
10 seconds at most.
Well, if the game's up and working.
If the game's up and working. And so, you know, I pull into this church parking lot or, you know, whatever their driveway path is, and I spin the thing, and then I'm gone within 10, 15 seconds. And I obey their parking lot unspoken rules of respect, basically, you know, like decent driving skills. And if there have been once or twice where it's been on a day where they're having a church service, but even then I don't drive like a maniac into there. I'll pull into a spot real quick and be on my way, or, you know, just trying to be decent about me being there and not be in the way. Like I'm not honking at someone or, you know, being.
Well, and I think it's also important to mention, we live in a town where there's a church on every corner.
Yeah.
So we have an overabundance of churches, and not everyone's a Pokestop, but there's a little...
And to be fair, I mean, most of the East Coast is like us. I mean, we do have, specifically the East Coast, there are churches everywhere. I mean, and most of these Pokestops, Niantic has said they support churches as Pokestops because they are supposedly quote-unquote friendly environments, you know, things where you don't have to worry about a kid getting, you know, mauled. Or
one thing, that there's a church down the road from my house that has barriers on the front, so you can't get in except for like on a main street.
That's
been about the most unwelcoming people have been. And I think they had a sign that says, please don't use your Pokestop. But, you know.
I've seen most churches, though, do quite the opposite, where they've actually promoted it on the front.
Yeah.
And in, like, a really positive way, too, and sometimes, like, a nice little humorous way.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's good, because that brings people into your church, and that brings in a community. Yeah. The other negative thing has been people, like, going to graveyards and walking through graveyards and getting Pokemon. And that's not okay.
That's kind of a iffy gray spot for sure. I mean, if you're doing it like a national cemetery, like that gets even weirder at that point.
Yeah, but I think that's it for Pokemon.
No, never it for Pokemon.
Oh, it's it for Pokemon. At least for now.
It has definitely, like I said, been that cultural phenomenon already. It is really nice to see people come together like they have. And I'm very encouraged to see where it is in another 2 weeks, a month, and 6 months and a year from now. I would like to breach those divides and see what it can continue to do for society and to see if it continues to have this, I don't know, it seems like a snowball rolling downhill, like it's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if it can keep the momentum for sure.
And it is an app, it is a phone game, so usually the thing with even the biggest phone games is they die off.
Yeah, you know? Relatively quickly usually.
Very quickly, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
To move into another phone game I've been playing Knights of Pen and Paper, the plus one.
I'm actually surprised you've just now got into this. Have you not heard of it before?
No. So
how did you happen upon it?
I think Google was having a sale, and it was like one of their editor's choice, and it had a 4.8 rating.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, a dollar, whatever. So picked it up, and it's actually been a really fun little purchase.
Yeah.
It's great for just sitting around whenever I'm at home, bored, like watching TV or what have you. It's been a lot of fun. I really like that game. I think the developers have done a great job on capturing what it's like to kind of play a pen and paper game.
Yeah,
to play a D&D.
Feel of D&D. Yeah, without it being, it's more like a turn-based JRPG.
It almost feels like a Dragon Quest game in a sense.
Yeah, but the story, the way that the story is presented, really helps it. It's very well written.
Yeah, it is, and there's a lot of like really quirky humor that if you've ever played D&D, you will totally understand.
Well, what helps it is it's so self-aware without being a douchebag about it.
Right. Like it's not to the point of like Deadpool where it's fourth wall breaking constantly, but it's just fourth wall breaking enough where it makes it
to
fun.
Make it like cheeky humor.
Right.
You can appreciate it, especially if you've ever played D&D.
You've
ever had those like social engagements.
Yeah, it's been a pretty fun little journey though.
It's very neat. I am not a phone gamer at all. Like
same
here. I actively avoid phone games. And I think if I have to nail down ones that I've really been into, it's probably three on my tally. The Infinity Blade series, yeah. the Knights of Pen and Paper, and now there's a sequel out as well.
Right.
But yeah, Knights of Pen and Paper, and now Pokemon Go. Like, yeah. That has been pretty much it. So, yeah, I mean, I consider those pretty high on that list.
Yeah, and I've honestly, it's kind of like that sleeper hit for me, because mm-hmm. I didn't expect to enjoy it. Yeah. I just picked it up because it was a dollar, and yep. I've probably put about 2.5-3 hours into mm-hmm. it just... Because honestly, I don't have the time to play Pokemon Go. I can't go out and chase Pokemon right now because I'm just a little bit too busy. But mm-hmm. that is the only downside of Pokemon Go, is that you have to be active. You have to go out and hunt for Pokemon. And
I think you also, I don't even know that it's if you have to be active, because if I really sit down with the amount of hours I put into it, it's really not that much. But what I've done within those hours has been really fruitful because of the group that I'm with. Like, I'm always with more than one person. Gotcha. It's never just myself. And I can see playing that game solo and just being cast into the wild of Pokemon Go, it's definitely not as fun.
And maybe that's my problem, because right now everyone I work with, we're mm-hmm. all in a big push. So we've not had time to really work
go
as a team.
Group or anything like that.
Yeah, we went and did like one Poke Walk one day. But right now we're unfortunately in a crunch that isn't going to end until September. So that's just part of life right now.
Yeah. Whereas with me, you know, I'm taking my wife, and often not, I have an additional friend who's
and you're also on the summer. You're in your summer from college. Yeah. So, you know, you have the time to do that mm-hmm. right now, which, you know, if I had the time, I would love to come out and walk with you guys. However, it's just not in the cards
right now.
Moving away from Pokemon Go though, and moving away from phones, Video Ball.
Oh man, Video Ball's so good.
Yeah?
Man, Video Ball is like a game that never got made, that you go into it and you play it and you're just like, this is a really old like Commodore 64 or TurboGrafx 16 or Atari 2600 game, like a one-on-one competitive thing. It feels like an evolution of Pong.
Yeah.
You know, this versus thing. And it's you can play it one-on-one, and it has multiplayer as well, but basically it's super dumbed down. It's like, it's almost like if you dumb down Rocket League to its most base form.
Right.
You are a triangle, and there is another triangle on the opposite team. If you're playing 2-on-2, then it's two triangles. I mean, I don't know if it's 4-on-4. The only thing that I've done 2-on-2 is the most I've done so far. But anyways, imagine a triangle floating on this, you know, 2D plane, and you are hitting a ball.
Yeah.
And in some of the other game modes, it makes it a little easier. There's multiple balls. You might have four balls on one screen. But basically, you are a triangle trying to hit a ball into your other team's goal. And there's all different shapes and sizes of goals. And it's one of those things you kind of have to see in action to really formulate an opinion on it, or to even play it for yourself. But it's super basic, but it takes that Rocket League addiction, or that Rocket League gameplay, or that Pong, you know, take it back to that core... you know, me versus you thing, that ping pong.
It's all split second decisions, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's the way that it does it is very neat. So, you know, you're this flying, floating triangle, and you're trying to hit this ball into your opponent's goal, and you can attack the ball. You can't just run into it, because then you just bounce off the ball.
Right.
You have three levels of attack. The first level is just a simple, you shoot a little triangle, and it will barely nudge the ball. Or you can charge it, and you can, with the second level, it will charge it, and you will, the arrow that you shoot out, or the triangle that you shoot out of you, will kind of carry the ball. You'll kind of grab it and push it along. The third level will just smack it like, the best thing I can compare it to is you've ever used a baseball bat in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And just seeing how it just knocks people just immediately. Yeah. It'll do the same thing, but it has a give and take. If the other team even uses a little triangle to hit it, it completely retaliates, and it's not conducive to a good relationship of making making your goal.
Yeah.
Or you can supercharge it, which takes longer, and make like a little square wall. But basically it's one of those things that you definitely don't want to play solo.
Right.
You want to play in that group environment. And of course it does have online multiplayer as well, which I think is good, but it's really best. It's a use case scenario for like a party game.
It would be like couch co-op.
It's a great couch co-op and great party game.
You know, I'm not going to lie. The first time I saw it, I thought it was like a really dumbed down version of Windjammers for the Neo Geo.
I can see that. Yeah.
Like I thought someone made Windjammers.
It's definitely in that same vein, that same realm of gameplay style.
Yeah. And it looks very like, I love the art style. I know calling that an art style is kind of a stretch, but
I don't know if it's art style so much as like
the aesthetic, I guess. Yeah,
like a lack of art style,
but it looks so 80s, and I love that. Like I feel like looking at that just makes me want to go like watch Saved by the Bell, which is I guess 90s, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and even the announcers really go far into to selling that 80s vibe because really? You know it's like Video Ball, welcome to Video Ball. You'll love Video Ball. Like I mean, just really super happy, just
over the top,
almost like a TV show, like an 80s TV show.
Yeah.
My best recommendation too is like I really like the trailers for it, and it's the male announcer during the trailers. By default, the game has it option two in the audio for the female announcer.
Yeah,
and she's a little bland.
Okay.
She's a little boring.
Yeah.
So if you do play it, go into the options, switch the announcer to the male one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's just got so much more life and he's very candid and I don't know, like he's self-aware, I guess is where we go with that. Whereas the woman who's doing her recordings as the announcer just seems really bored.
Yeah.
Almost robotic and not in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Video Ball's awesome. It's a $9.99. And
Steam,
you can find it on Steam, PS4, and Xbox.
Oh, is it on PS4 now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
what are you playing?
That's where I purchased it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Very fun.
I guess that brings us to the next topic, which would be UFC 2, which is totally what I'm. Another game I'm playing.
Yeah, I played the first one on next gen consoles on PS4, and my entire reasoning, I'll be very honest, my entire reason for purchasing that game when it came out was because you could play as Bruce Lee.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I loved it for that. You know, I got a month and a half, 2 months worth of enjoyment out of just, having, once again, we talk about fantasy wish fulfillment. I was, growing up, I got into martial arts because of martial arts films.
Yeah.
You know, so I gravitated to Muay Thai as my chosen one because I'm a tall guy. Long legs,
Sure.
Kickboxing kind of goes hand in hand. But Bruce Lee was, for many, as you know, many youths, as many young males, was one of my heroes, especially for those involved in martial arts. Also like Jackie Chan and whatnot. But Bruce Lee was like prime time. There's no greater legend to martial arts than Bruce Lee. So seeing the original UFC next gen launch, I was like, okay, I need this game.
You know,
it looks great. I mean, visually, you can attest even the second one you played. They look fantastic.
For
the damage modeling is on point. The way the characters move feel very fluid and realistic.
We'll come back to that.
Okay. Well, it was for me in my experience, at least with the first one. I haven't played the second one. But yeah, 100% honesty, like it was just because of Bruce Lee. If he was not in that, I would not have bought it.
Yeah.
I did have my month and a half, 2 months of it, and that fantasy wish fulfillment was seen to its furthest point.
Yeah.
And then I traded the game in and went from there.
I gamefied it. It's a game. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
I usually play these games.
Bruce Lee is also in this one.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. I didn't know that. I always go through the campaign or the storyline or career modes, whatever.
There was little to none of that in
the
first
second
one. That was kind of the biggest complaint is it was very bare bones. It was like exhibition, kind of a light tournament mode.
Yeah.
The story wasn't
story. I'm playing through, I made my own character and I'm playing through his career and it's fun. There are some pretty glaring issues. Like, there's a lot of weird glitching with the character movement.
Okay.
So, the other night, I play a lightweight character, and I kick someone in the head, and literally my leg wrapped around their head, then wrapped all the way back, and then came to the ground.
Sweet.
It was really weird.
So you pulled like a Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah. Or Anderson Silva, if you watch UFC.
Ooh.
So... just weird things like that, like arms glitching through bodies. Like I punched through someone's chest and came out their back.
Wow.
I literally, someone like made me go into a right angle.
So the physics engine and collision detection is
it's
not
just
any
weird.
Better.
Yeah. I
came across a little bit of that in the first one, but it was very random. It was not a common occurrence. And when it did happen, I would record it because it was really funny. I think I knocked someone out and then the physics freaked out on their body. And they, like, turned into a weird, elongated, noodle alien man on the ground. And we're just kind of, like, shooting across the,
unfortunately,
across the octagon.
I've not been able to, like, catch any of these things on footage because it's just so random when it happens. Mm-hmm. For the most part, the game works as expected.
Well, just to hear that you've played it that little and seen that much of an issue.
I will say, I've actually put quite a bit into the game.
Okay,
I put about 5 to 10 hours, which is a lot for a sports game.
That's good,
for me, like, it's fun, though. I've enjoyed it. I think it could be better, and maybe we'll see a better game next time. I feel like
I wouldn't even recommend the first one because it's one of those things that it's good to rent and it's a nice little popcorn fighter, but there's just not enough meat
There's no depth.
I feel like they've put so much effort into the engine and into the graphic fidelity that there's not much else there.
The problem I have is the game does look good, mm-hmm. but as far as damage modeling goes, I thought the first game, actually, like the one on Xbox 360 and PS3, back when they were made by THQ, I actually think that the damage was better then.
Wow.
Just because, I mean, did you ever play the King, I want to say it was King of Fighters, or I'm sorry, not King of Fighters, King of the Ring games, or whatever they were called back in the day, the boxing games. Yeah, Fight Night, there we go.
Yeah. I played a lot of Fight Night.
You know, that was the same team, I think. Mm-hmm. The damage modeling in that game was still good back in its time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like UFC 2 or, you know, EA Sports UFC, whatever you want to call it, they should really take some notes from those games because it doesn't feel fleshed out like those mm-hmm. games did. That's pretty much all I've got on UFC.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's kind of sad to hear that it's going downhill a little bit from...
I've read that everyone said that it's a leaps and bounds better than the first one, but like...
It doesn't sound like it.
Well,
because,
I'm also comparing it to the THQ UFC games, which I actually thought very, very highly of. I really enjoyed those games.
Well, I mean, just compared to the first UFC EA game, the one that, you know, was on next-gen consoles... The last iteration, while it was missing a lot of that meat for, you know, content, it did feel like a good game.
Yeah.
Whereas this one just from hearing you talk about it, it seems like there's a lot of polish missing.
Yeah, and I think my biggest issue is the fact that there's no systems that are deep.
Yeah.
If you get good at basically holding a stick, you can be a submissions expert.
Mm-hmm.
If you get good at mashing buttons...
It was that way with the first one. I'll give you that. Like, I do not play those games for submissions at all. And coming from the background that I have in martial arts, being a stand-up fighter, I'm not into submissions. I'm not into grappling. I'm not into ground and pound. That's just not my thing. I don't like that type of fighting, and I get people that do, and I completely respect your opinion and why you like that, but I've never been the wrestling type. I've never been into wrestling. I figure once it's gotten to the point where someone submitted, like, the fight's over. Like, I've never been into that. I'm into the art of seeing the dance of a stand-up fight. That's why I've always liked boxing more, kickboxing more. But that's how I played UFC, the first one out.
Yeah.
Like, I played it as a stand-up game.
Right.
Whereas I didn't do the submission stuff at all.
At all.
So,
okay.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, and that was really my biggest issues with it. Want to move on to something else?
Of course.
What do you want to move on to?
Everything.
Okay.
Pokemon Go.
No! No more Pokemon Go!
Oh, okay. I've played quite a bit now, and I'm not yet... at the end, but a game called The Soulless Project, and not soulless, like not missing a soul, but soulless, S-O-L-U-S.
Yes, I thought you said soulless the first time, and I was pretty interested.
Not the Atheist Project.
I'd play that.
But no, The Soulless Project is a really neat... Let me see. Have you ever played The Dig? It was old LucasArts point-and-click game?
No, I didn't.
Never mind, Kenny. Why wasting my breath?
I'm sorry. I never played The Dig.
Okay. How do you feel? How do you feel about science fiction?
Well, that's one of the things I love a lot.
Okay. How do you feel about going to an uncharted planet?
Pretty terrified. I would not want to do that.
Okay. And alien mystique.
Like chestbuster alien, or what kind of alien are we talking about?
You don't know what type of alien. You just know that you're on a planet with some type of alien meh.
Yeah. See, my mind automatically goes chestbuster,
sure,
or predator. So either way, you're getting hunted.
Okay, let's forget the hunting part. Let's just point it this way. Astronaut, something bad happens, you end up on an alien planet, you don't know what's going on, you want to get off, you want to get saved, you want to figure out what's happening.
Okay.
Extremely atmospheric, but it's one of those games that's almost like what they sell as new modern day walking simulators or experience type games.
Yeah.
But this one's actually more game than that, and much more game. There's actually a firm backing here. You take like a crafting system and to where you're trying to, you know, make food or to make a torch or survive, like literal crafting. And you're in not a open world, but an open-ended environment, and you can travel back and forth between environments.
The way I read the game, I read a review somewhere, and they compared it to like an old monster movie where you feel like the monsters are there.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like those aliens are somewhere around, but you never see them. Or if you do, you might get a brief glimpse of what it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. You see very little. I mean, one of the first things I came across in the game was I was sure it was going to kill me immediately, but there are these little, you think it's like a barnacle or something on the ground, and you walk up to it, and all of a sudden it lights up, shoots in the air, and puffs up like a puffer fish. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm dead. Like, I'm so dead. But no, like, it just falls back to the ground and just makes a weird little sound and rolls away. And it repeats the same thing if you get close to it. But no, it's a lot of, like, visual storytelling, and there is an arcing narrative, really good voice acting, excellent music. It's a game that if you play... absolutely put headphones on and play it in the dark, it will scare the crap out of you. And it's not a gory game. It is not even a horror game. It's just that really good, like, ambient science fiction storytelling. It's a very solemn game. It is you as this lone astronaut in an environment, survive, figure out what happens, get out of here, and just try and live. And it's beautiful art direction to go along with that, the music and the visual storytelling. It's one of those games that I would love to. I haven't looked to see if it's going to be VR compatible, but I would just be floored.
I feel like I heard somewhere that was going
to
be VR compatible.
I would be floored to play a game like that in VR.
Because
like,
it's still early access, right?
No, it's finished now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It is done now. And it is a complete full product. But I highly recommend that if you have a Steam account, if you have a PC, and I think it's on Mac as well, but the Solus Project. It's just good, that pure distillation of science fiction ambiance, that mystique, that mystery and wonderment that you get from like a core science fiction thing. Like, you know, I compare what I love about what I'm seeing from No Man's Sky is exactly what I loved as a kid about the original Planet of the Apes, because the first 10 minutes of the original Planet of the Apes, you know, with Charlton Heston, is very much that science fiction of you don't know what's going on. You just know there's a man in this weird place. It could be Earth. It could not be Earth. You don't know.
Right.
And he's trying to survive. Like, you know, there are so many question marks. And I feel like those question marks are what allow the mind to wander and that creativity to be, you know, to blossom.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with the Solus Project. Like, you don't know what's going on and you're slowly figuring it out. And just the moment-to-moment gameplay mixed with the music and the art design is just so, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Cool. Yeah, that's one I'll definitely have to check out at some point.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah, and the last thing we have on the list, I went back and started playing the 2008 Ghostbusters video game.
Yeah, man, 2008.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah. So to preface, I went and watched the new Ghostbusters movie with the all-female cast. And
the best movie you've ever seen, right?
I mean, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I hear from everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it was an okay movie, but I don't want to get into the problems that movie had versus the you know, the pluses that movie had. But the 2008 Ghostbusters video game, it's just something I really wanted to try, because I remember playing it a little bit when it first came out, but it came out at a time when a lot of other things came out, and I just kind of brushed it under the rug.
Yeah.
And I kept hearing everyone say how good it was, and now that I'm going back and replaying it, I have to admit, it plays like a Ghostbusters game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly what I would think playing a Ghostbuster would be.
And it's what you wanted as a sequel to Ghostbusters.
Yeah, not Ghostbusters 2.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not. Like, anything but Ghostbusters 2.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that this new movie is better than Ghostbusters 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I really didn't like Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Just not a good movie.
Uh-huh.
Not a good movie. Ghostbusters 2 bad. Ghostbusters great.
And I hear
that
from a lot of Ghostbusters fans.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, at that point, your fandom is based off the core ideology of one movie.
Right. And I will agree with that. Yes, I get it. I do understand. I think the thing that makes it feel like a Ghostbusters game, or like a Ghostbusters film, the game is, everyone's back in their characters.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Ghostbusters 2 is they stopped trying to play their characters, and they started trying to riff on each other and riff on the environment. And
I hear the problem from a lot of Ghostbusters fans with Ghostbusters 2 is that Ghostbusters 2 plays it too safe.
Right. I mean, and it's basically the same movie as the first one. And to a lot of degrees, the new movie is very much that as well. Like, a lot of the problems I had with the new movie were the same problems I had with Ghostbusters 2. Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig just riff on each other half of the movie, and that's not funny to me.
Yeah.
I don't find, like, the hangover humor funny. Like,
so, I mean, that's the problem of you're getting, like, an infinite loop of making fun of each other, and there's no plot or story development.
There was three characters in the movie that did a great job. I want to say Kate McKinnon, which was the woman who played Holtzman. She was absolutely hilarious, and it felt like she was in her character the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's, like, Leslie something. I can't remember her full name.
The African-American lady?
Yeah, she played Patty. and she was absolutely hilarious throughout the whole movie.
Just from the trailers that I've seen, like, she looked like the most appealing part of that to me.
Yeah,
just
she was so, like, such a vibrant character.
Obnoxious and goofy, but, like, not overly so.
And honestly, Chris Hemsworth, like, he was, he stole
and
the
he
show.
He had a very small part in it, right?
A little bit bigger than you would expect from the trailers. Like, he played a pretty pivotal role, but he was...
I figure he would be, like, a throwaway.
Yeah,
like,
no, he was pretty... He was,
2 minutes or less.
He was in there for probably about a quarter of the movie. But he was absolutely hilarious. Like, they need to let him do more in the Thor series. Like, they need to let him do comedy. Because that dude is funny. He is.
I mean, the best part about the Thor movies is the comedy that he's doing, in my opinion at least, is when Thor is being, like, you know, candid. When he's being...
being, like, he's from another planet.
Where he's a victim of circumstance.
Right. But, yeah, he is a really funny guy. So you know, that's kind of why I'm playing back through that. And I'll have more on that on the next podcast once I finish it, because I hear it's a relatively short game. Mm-hmm. I'm probably about 45 minutes into it, so I'm not that deep in yet. But it definitely feels like a Ghostbusters. Like, it's something that's from that universe and should be from that universe.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Kenny, have you downloaded and played Fury?
You know,
you are. I.
You know, I started to, and then I started reading about it, and I just lost all interest.
I was really looking forward to that game because it's a boss fight game.
Yeah.
You know, it's point to point. You are nothing but boss fights. There is no minute to minute gameplay outside of going between story beat to story beat, hitting boss fight arenas, and then fighting a singular boss. Bosses are super difficult, even on the normal difficulty. Each boss has, like, multiple bars worth of health, like 7 plus pips worth of health. Each time a bar goes down, you know, one pip goes down. I want to like this game more than I do.
Yeah.
It feels slightly unpolished, at least from my experience with the PS4 version. Lots of screen tearing.
Yeah.
I feel like the controls aren't always as responsive as they should be.
And it's a game like that.
It's a game that is lives and dies by your... response, you know,
yeah, precision.
You need to be extremely precise in your actions. And I feel like there are times where it's like if you institute lag into a fighting game, like that doesn't mesh. You know, you can't be a successful fighting game player if you institute lag. And this is very much that fighting game style philosophies, but you know, on a it's a 3D brawler. You know, it is a isometric 3D brawler, and you're playing against these extremely hard bosses, and it introduces concepts with each boss, and it's very bullet hell, and it's, you know, how it's contrived. I'm not a big fan of bullet hell games in the first place. There is fun to be had there, but I feel like it really needs to fix those core problems.
Yeah, the art style really made me want to play it, because the art style,
it's a really neat art
style. Cool.
It's the same guy that did Afro Samurai.
Okay,
so very,
that makes,
like,
a lot of sense.
Odd, gaunt, anime-ish.
Yeah, because honestly, the first time I saw it, I thought Afro Samurai.
Yeah.
But that makes a lot of sense now. Yeah, I agree. I think that there's something that could be there.
Mm-hmm.
And from watching gameplay and stuff like that, it was one of those games where I just decided to skip out altogether because of the difficulty curve that I was hearing about.
It takes that, whereas I feel like, I'll use Dark Souls, we talk about Dark Souls a lot. Dark Souls is difficult, but I never feel like Dark Souls is out of bounds. I never feel like if I die in a Dark Souls game, or if I die in Bloodborne or Demon Souls, I deserved that death.
Right.
I earned it. And they use your deaths to teach you something.
Right.
To teach you something about the game or the level layout or, you know, the characters and how they attack, how they move. I feel like this game, when I die, I'm not learning anything.
Right.
I feel like it's very repetitive in its motions and its actions. And it's because of the drawbacks of the game mechanics themselves, or even how the engine is not responding fluidly, that's holding me back.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say it feels very rushed. Like, it feels like they had a whole nother, like, they had a whole lot of stuff they wanted to get done in this game, and then they said, okay, well, we can only do this bare minimum of things, so let's just go all
in. I feel like each of these boss fights end up being... And I'm sure you're going to have people that can do these boss fights in absolute zero time. You're going to have just these pinnacles of game player out there. But I feel like on average, each boss fight is like 15 to 25 minutes. And I feel like they could easily be condensed down to a third of that and be twice as fun.
Yeah.
And I want to like it. I really do. And some of the designs are absolutely wonderful. And even some of the gameplay scenarios, even within the bullet hell realm, are really neat in how you need to attack these bosses. But once you do this thing, once I've done the exact same animation and conquered this exact same scenario 20 plus times, but then because I get stunk It stunk. Once I get stuck in an infinite loop of doing this exact same thing
right.
to try and conquer this boss with 7+ hit, life bars, it gets a little old. Right. I get tired of doing this exact same thing.
Yeah.
It could be better.
Yeah, I get that. Well, I think that's all we have.
No, we have more Pokemon Go.
No more Pokemon Go, please. I'm gonna start talking about Demolition Man.
Guys, that's been all for the What You've Been Playing. Thank you for joining us this time. Hopefully, with our next time when you join us, we are going to be branching into a little thing we like to call No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
That is a thing.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that new trailer?
Yeah, I liked it.
I did too.
I'm excited.
I'm really curious. I'm at the point now where I'm tired of hearing people bitch about the game.
Yeah.
And I just want everyone to start. I want it to be out. And I want people to play it. Then if they don't like it, or if I have complaints, or you have complaints, or anyone we know has complaints, then it's completely valid. But
right.
I feel like we're at a point now where people are complaining about the game
just because they don't have it.
I feel like people are upset because they don't have a full grasp on what they're going to be doing on the absolute, not just minute-to-minute gameplay, but second-to-second gameplay.
Yeah,
I honestly think that's a little irritating.
I think that people are so used to trailers and all that stuff giving them exactly what mm-hmm. they're going to do
yep.
that they don't want the mystery.
Yeah, people don't want mystery. That's exactly it. And I feel like if you see let's just use Call of Duty as an example, or a Madden, you see within that trailer what you're going to be doing. In Call of Duty, you're going to run from point A to point B. There might be a hallway. There might be a slightly open area. But you're going to be shooting dudes and progressing to the next
story. There might be Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, and that's the game. That is the game.
Yep.
Whereas No Man's Sky, I would veritably argue that there's much more to do in No Man's Sky than your average Call of Duty.
It's possible.
I mean, if just visually from what we've seen so far. But yeah, people are still complaining. I think the people have it so ingrained in their mind that No Man's Sky has to be the end-all be-all of video games, and they're upset with what it's not showing them that it should. I feel like some people are feeling robbed with No Man's Sky, and they don't even own the game yet.
Right, and it's not even like we've not scratched the surface of what it is.
It would
or
be
isn't.
Like me reviewing, let's say, the newest Ghostbusters. It would be like me reviewing the newest Ghostbusters movie without even having seen it.
Based on what I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Because at this point, we're seeing the narrative that the trailers are painting.
Yeah,
and we don't know if
conjecture.
We don't know if that's the exact narrative that. I mean, I think it's what Sean Murray wants us to see, but we don't know yet.
Yeah.
And I think that we as a society tend to do that, and we tend to jump on and say this is crap because I don't know everything about it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like if Miyazaki of Dark Souls fame came out and told us every single boss, from say there's 13 or more bosses, every boss from first to last. And gave us the techniques of completing each boss.
Right.
Best case scenario. I mean, that takes out the fun.
Right.
That mystique is kind of imperative to the selling point of that series.
Right.
And I feel like No Man's Sky is the exact same way. Like,
yeah.
I'm at the point now where I'm kind of even tired of talking about No Man's Sky until it comes out because there's so much negativity behind
it. Being thrown around, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like it's really undeserved.
Yeah, I agree. I say whenever No Man's Sky comes out, we'll talk probably pretty in-depth about it.
A lot. I'm going to sink a lot of hours into that. I'm actually taking my vacation week the week that it comes out.
I can't anymore because...
I haven't taken a vacation in a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah, No Man's Sky with me. All right.
And Kenny, I mean, September's really big for you guys. Why don't you go ahead and sink in a plug for what you do?
Yeah. So I am a WordPress developer, well, junior WordPress developer, we'll put that in there, for a company called the WP Ninjas. We make a product called Ninja Forms. And this podcast is actually kind of brought to you by Ninja Forms.
Because we
record in our office, and my bosses are gracious enough to let us use their energy and equipment to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But
more importantly, their AC.
Yes, their AC is very important.
Tennessee right now is very hot.
It is very hot. But we'll be launching a new product here around September, and it'll be really great to have that out the door.
I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah. All right.
But everyone, thanks for joining us. This has been Hardly Casual, and we are Ghost.